Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Oh, we had a really interesting conversation yesterday with the Due Time crew, and we asked the question, what do you do when your partner has a problem with personal hygiene? Yes. we asked, what do you say to them when their breath is kicking? Well, the Due Time crew had some interesting ways of putting, you know, the fact that your breath was smelling. Well, we also ask, what do you say when you are at that formal event and your underarm is kicking? Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, one suggestion was, you know, hey, you go to the bathroom and wash up. I'll go and I'll get some deodorant. All right, that's one. The other was, well, we learned yesterday that there was a hand sanitizer, temporary fix. Yes, if you throw a little hand sanitizer underneath that arm, it'll take care of you for just a tad bit. I guess maybe long enough for you to go and, you know, really fix that issue. Okay, and we did ask, what happens if they feet stink? Oh, my goodness gracious. Baby. Well, we actually did, you know, touch on some things that the Due Time crew had experienced. And, you know, thank God for experience. Because, you know, now they I'm sure they speak, as Christian people, they speak a little more sensitive than, you know, they did back then. You know, because, you know, when you out there, you just out there. You know, you just saying all kinds of things, and you really ain't paying attention to people's feelings and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, the point of the matter is, you know, this is real. People really have these issues. And, you know, we gotta, hey, be able to, you know, handle this gently and be able to minister to somebody. Yes, did you realize that even that can be ministry? Yes. You know, you don't know if, you know, this was their first time something like that happened, you know, in their life, and, you know, they got caught off guard. You know, well, who are you, you know, to minister to them. Yes, that's why this stuff happens around us a lot of times, because God needs us to make the difference. You know, I always say that God's people got to be everywhere. Yep, everywhere and in everything, so that, you know, we can definitely talk these things out and definitely be a blessing to people, especially at their lowest. Yes, at their lowest. You know, because can you imagine being caught off guard and you're talking to very important people and your breath is stinking? Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, they don't forget that kind of stuff. People don't forget that. And I've actually known, you know, people to say, you know, well, hey, I met him and his feet were stinking. But there had to be something else going on because they pursued a relationship with this person. Yep, they wanted to know about this person, and there they got to find out a whole lot about this individual, and his feet were stinking. And I asked, well, if you met him and the feet were stinking, first of all, how did you even smell it? She said, yeah, it was stinking through the sneakers. And you still pursue this individual? Okay, then you can't be mad with anything else that happens thereafter. Because if the feet were stinking through the sneakers, but yet you push forward, then listen, anything goes at that point. And unfortunately, the smelly feet was not his only problem. Yeah, he had some other stuff going on. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, was a president born thereafter? I don't know. Could be. Could it have been a minister, a doctor, a lawyer, you know, Thurgood Marshall, mama smells, you know, his daddy's feet? I don't know. But, again, that's why we need to just be gentle, because we don't ultimately know what's coming behind that. Yep. And, you know, it sounds like a joke and it sounds like we're being harsh, but I'm being very serious here. You know, do we move past some of the things that we can really move past and get through? Do we push forward? You know, there's a blessing in pressing. Oh, yeah. There's a blessing in pressing. So we really got to make sure that we keep our head on straight and, you know, let people know that Jesus is love. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yes, Jesus loves us even with the stinky feet, stinky breath, bad body odor, off day, on day. Yeah, you know, he loves to do it all. And we got to make sure that we're gentle. Okay? All right. Well, we could not get through a Monday morning without getting our switch tip. And yesterday, Shantice gave her switch tip: do it the way God says. Well, look at what we just got finished talking about. God says that there is love everywhere. Yeah. You know, are we actually going on our own tangent and doing things the way we want to do it because, you know, we can? Or are we really tapping into the word of God and the way he's telling us to do things that clearly make the difference, that clearly make the difference? You know, my youngest came to me yesterday and she said, you know what, mommy, I see why God said X, Y, and Z, something that I had told her and, you know, some others, you know, God said, and she said, now I see why. She said, God knew I wasn't going to listen. That's right where I am. Well, you know what? Thanks be to God that she was able to get some information and a word from God, and she did not do it the way God said, and then she subsequently saw what God was saying and why he told her to do it the way he told her to do it. And there was even an acknowledgement from her yesterday that, you know what, God always has a plan, mommy. That I'm learning. And I'm like, amen. 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 Come on, did you say amen with me? Come on, what young person is going to say that to you and you're not going to say amen? Because if she realizes from now that God ultimately has a plan when he tells her to do something, and she may not like the way it sounds, or she may not like, you know, in favor, or she may not be in favor of whatever it is that God told her either to do or not to do, then she's going to learn to do it the way God says. Yes. So yesterday I walked into a real life example of us, you know, just kind of following God and doing it the way God says. You know, God is a God of decency and a God of order. You know, no matter what he says, we got to work it out. You know, I say, you know, when I told you about, you know, God said, you know, hey, I need you to do this prayer group, and I need you to climb to 1 million women. And I'm like, wow, okay. I could have said to God, you know, really, really, God, 1 million women? I don't even know 1 million women. But I didn't. I just did what God told me to do, and I just trust God, you know. And sometimes we have to trust God for those things that sound insurmountable. Yes. See, that's what our problem is. We're going to get to talk about this thing early. Today, let's talk about it Tuesday. So let's talk about this thing. You know, a lot of times we don't do things the way God says to do it because it seems insurmountable. It seems like out of this world, like impossible. You know, what do you mean don't do this? Or what do you mean do that? Seriously, God? Yes, seriously. Well, just do things the way God says. And as Tamasia said yesterday, you're going to understand why at the end of the day, as the song says, we'll understand it by and by. All right? Well, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folks Day. And oh, do we have some conversations to be had. It's Let's Talk About It. And I plan to do just that. Let me tell you something. I am reeking in pain right now. I can't, on a Richter scale, the pain is 999. But I got to tell you that this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I got to give God every bit of this pain back. I can't even close my hand hardly. But ain't nothing wrong with this mouth. So let's talk about it. All right? So make sure you get that healthy breakfast because you're going to need some energy this morning. Because I got one twisted story. And, you know, it just walked me straight into church, folks. Oh, my goodness gracious. It just woke me into church, folks, this morning. And with a whole lot of questions. You know, why do we? Yeah. So get that healthy breakfast because you're going to need the energy because I need you to talk back with me today. Yes, please, please, because I know I sound like I can do it all by myself, but today I am suffering. So I'm going to need some help. Make sure you tell a friend, you get somebody, and you let them know that a due time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you hold on to your seat because we'll be right back.
I thought I was all thumb. Turns out they're green.
It feels good to focus on others.
My tax preparation skills are appreciated, and I don't have to wear a tie.
Nothing beats a great hand except lending one. Be a WISE volunteer. Support seniors in maintaining balanced lives. Visit wiseandhealthyaging.org or call 310-394-9871.
Good morning and good morning to you. Welcome to A New Time with Pastor Steph. And today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. And giving God thanks for waking us up today and getting us started, excuse me, regardless of how we feel. Woo, baby. Excuse me, but regardless of how we feel, God is an awesome God, and we didn't even have to wake up today. You know, other people in our families didn't have to wake up today, and we're going to celebrate today. We're going to let God know that the enemy's not going to keep us down with our problems. We're going to let the enemy know that no matter what's going on, you don't get a part of this day. And we have to walk through each day like that. You know, I just got it this morning and prayed with somebody who's feeling like the enemy is just fighting them tooth and nail, left and right. And they were like, "You sound like you need, you know, some prayer." And I was like, "I do. But you know what? It's not about me today. It's about you. And it's about just trusting God and giving our all to God at all times." You know, it's just a blessing and pressing, I got to tell you. And there's a blessing in us having this due time each morning. You know, I really can't even imagine how we got through our days previous to May 11th, 2020. Every day, you know, we're on and pressing our way. You know, the due time crew is wreaked with pain and issues and all kind of things. Excuse me, but we got to give God his glory. That comes first. You know, God will take care of all the other stuff. Because, listen, we limited anyway. And there's nothing we could do. If we stopped and sat over in a corner and moped, if we got in the bed and didn't move because of pain, you know, there's some times where it's just really unbearable. And I got to be honest, today is one of them days that I am really pressing my way. But like I said to you a minute ago, I owe this to God. I owe this to God because there were many a day that this is what I would be praying for because I was on a surgical table. Excuse me, I was being told that I shouldn't be here, that I wouldn't be here, that if they didn't do what they needed to do, that I wouldn't be here. So, you know, I remember not even being home for 2.5 months because I was so sick in a hospital, dying. Didn't realize I was literally dying. 2.5 months. Excuse me. Took me to get back in my house. You know, so me not being able to get in a bed last night is really a blessing. You know what I'm saying? Because I was home. I was home and I was offered the help to get in the bed. You know, come on, Ma, I'll help you get in your bed. And I was just in so much pain. I couldn't even move to get in the bed. I was like, no, just don't move me. Just leave me right here. If I was laying on a floor on a bed of nails, it would have been easier than to try to get up and get in a bed. But still that was better than the surgeon looking me in my face and saying, "We got to, you know, do operation on you or you're not going to make it." Can you imagine that even in your worst state, it could be worse? Can you imagine that? In your worst state, it could be worse. You know, I don't even want to say we could be dead. Because, see, when you're dead, you don't feel nothing. When you're dead, you don't know nothing. When you're dead, you ain't up in heaven looking down and watching people, you know, and helping your family get through the issues and problems of life. It is over. You know, so when they say, you know, so-and-so's in a better place, and you know, because they're not, you know, in pain no more. I get that concept. But death is the end of life as we know it. you know, no more children, no more grandchildren, no more mom and dad, you know, no more loved ones, no more friends, no more church family. That's it. So it can always be worse on earth. Wherever we are in life, there's always somebody better and there's always someone worse. You know, I got word last night that there was somebody who was going through something, and they were complaining that people weren't doing, they didn't care. That's the word I got. And I was trying to figure out, well, what do you want people to do? Let's talk about this today. Yeah, I could talk today because it's supposed to talk about Tuesday. You know, maybe somebody's going through this same thing, and God is leading me to talk about this thing here today. Let me find me some music. Well, they were saying that, you know, so-and-so didn't care, and, you know, nobody's, you know, worried about them. And I'm saying to myself, well, what do you want? What do you want? What is it that you want people to do for you? You know, you might be down and out, but there are people who are worse off than you. So get out this pity party and this whining and crying and doing all of these things and worrying about all of this stuff that you ain't got no business worrying about. And nobody cares. What do you mean nobody cares? What do you want people to do? Should I come over, or should somebody else come over and, you know, cook your dinner and, you know, put your clothes on for you and comb your hair? And what do you want people to do when you don't give your life to God? You give God nothing, but you want everybody to give you everything. What? What do you want? There's always somebody worse off, as bad as you may have it. And I'm saying to myself, here I am suffering. How many times I've been in the hospital, how many times I've been, I don't complain. No one has ever heard me complain that, oh my God, somebody don't do this, and oh my goodness, somebody don't do that. You know, yo, life moves for everybody, and it's not up to me to be angry because somebody don't visit me in the hospital. It's not up to me that somebody ain't calling. And if they don't call, if God don't put it on their heart to call, then guess what? I've got to trust God and thank God for the people that are doing for me. Stop complaining about things that are not worth complaining about. Trust me when I tell you, there's always someone who is worse off than you are. And give God thanks for all that you're going through, no matter how bad it is. The Bible tells us that in trials and tribulations, we are to rejoice. And I know that sounds crazy at times. Crazy. It's like, you know, the house is coming down and, you know, the bills aren't being paid. And I remember, you know, over a decade ago, you know, I remember my mother saying to me, Stephanie, that house is falling apart and you can't pay the mortgage. You might as well just move, girl. And I am so glad. I am so grateful to God that I listened to God and I didn't listen to man. I am so grateful that I had the Spirit of the Lord that told me, you go and you pray about that. Yeah, logically, you're looking around and the house is falling apart and the mortgage is not getting paid. And you're sick. I just came from having a surgery for 7 hours. when it should have only been two. So my health was failing. My money was failing. The house was failing. But God never failed. God never fails you. I promise you. No matter what it looks like, no matter what anybody else is saying, there is a God who is watching over everything. So no matter what you're going through, God will be there. And if his word says yes, then you ain't got to worry about what else is going on. You don't ever have to worry about what's going on. Little did I know that God would call me into a ministry that would be based in this same home that was in foreclosure twice. Little did I know that lives would be saved underneath this roof, that she was saying, you might as well get about that house, girl. And I wasn't mad at her for saying it. I wasn't. Because, again, that's logic. Get out before you're thrown out. But I serve a God who knows more than what I know. And I don't care what it looks like. You talk to God about that thing first. And had I spoken to God and God said, leave, then I would have been out of here. But when I spoke to God, God said to me, you have all the room you need. He didn't say, yes, stay. He didn't say, go. He said, you already have all the room you need. There you have all the room. What he was saying was, you got room for a whole ministry here. Lives are going to be saved and touched right underneath this roof. You just hold on. Just hold on. So I tell you this morning, just hold on. Just hold on. Who am I talking to today? Who am I talking to? Who needed this conversation today? Just hold on. Just hold on. I know it don't make sense. I know your body is reeking with pain. I know that the bills are not getting paid. I know the house is falling apart. I know the marriage is in chaos. I know the kids are cutting up. But just hold on. God is there to get you through. To get you through. I know that health is failing and you can't see no more and you can't feel no more and you can't hear no more and you're trying to figure out, how am I going to move? How am I going to fix my baby breakfast? How am I going to clean the house? How am I going to make it to the doctor? But hold on. God is there. Hold on. Trust God. Trust them. They acting up at the job, or you about to lose your job, or you want to quit your job. Just hold on. Somebody needs to hear this. Now, I don't know if somebody needs to hear this right now or on demand. 5 minutes after this broadcast ends, it's on demand. Somebody needs to hear this. And this was definitely not what I planned on talking about today. But whatever God says to talk about is what God says to talk about. And that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're here for, to deliver the word of God. And I know that, you know, there are just things that seem insurmountable, things that just seem like they're not going to get no better. I'm looking at something that is like, oh my goodness gracious, how am I going to get through this? God, one way or another, it may not be the way that you have thought about it. It may not be something that somebody else is bringing to you. But God knows it all, and he's going to take care of it for you. This is why we have to live according to his word. We can't be doing what we want to do. Because when we do what we want to do, remember the switch tip yesterday, do it the way God says it. When we do what we want to do the way we want to do it, it ain't working out, I promise you. So, you know, when things seem to be falling apart, the first thing you want to do is ask, am I doing everything? God is doing everything for you. So you need to ask, am I doing everything you want me to do, God? Or are you trying to get my attention? Are you nudging me? Are you pulling my hair? Are you cutting off my feet? And that's the pain I'm feeling because you're cutting off my feet because I'm walking in areas and I'm walking in a way that you don't want me to walk. Are you cutting away my hearing because I'm not hearing you? Have you taken away my sight because I'm not seeing you? Have you removed my voice because I'm not saying the things that you have charged me to say? Why have you cut me off? What's going on? What's happening? The first thing you need to do is you need to start asking God, what is it? What is it that you want from me? Am I following you properly? Am I speaking for you properly? Am I hearing you properly? Have I shut you out and the world has become, you know, something that I'm giving my attention to? Have I lost focus? You need to ask God, what is it, God? What is it? So instead of me hearing last night that the person was complaining that this wasn't going right and that wasn't going right, and I'm listening to the person say this to me, and I'm saying to myself, you know, what do they want you to do? Again, what do they want you to do? I'm looking at a life that you're not serving God at all. But you now upset? That's the first thing we need to ask God. Hey, what's happening, God? Am I listening and doing the things that you want? Am I allowing you to order my steps? Let's talk about this thing today. Is it me? Is it me? Or is it just life? How about that? Is it just life? You know, there's a biblical story about that. You know, what did they do? You know, God, what did this person do? You know, what did their parents do? This is life. We're going to go through some things. But what are we going to do when we go through some things? And see, this is why each time I close, I say, check for Jesus. Make Jesus your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised. So it's not only in death, but in peace, in joy, in relaxation. Yeah, it's not promised to you. Your life can be fine right now and in an uproar in 15 minutes. So when we choose to ignore God, when we choose that God, we don't want God. You know, everybody made me go to church when I was younger, and I'm tired, and I should be able to do what I want to do. Yeah, you can. But listen, there's consequences and repercussions. And there are results in what you do. So you can opt to not choose God. He's given us that choice. He doesn't twist our arm. No. Mm-mm. He gives us that choice. So when we're complaining about what we don't have and nobody's loving me and paying attention to me and blah, 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 what are you giving the Lord? What are you giving him? Are you looking to take from him and not give? Because, see, he's not going to just have you sucking off him. Oh, I'm just going to reap all the benefits. Everywhere you look, God is blessing. Everywhere you look, God is blessing. The rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. Now, how are you going to give your life back to God? How? Because, he's owed that. He's owed that. So let's make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do when we're complaining that people are not doing or things are not going our way. I couldn't believe what I heard last night, you know, that they were complaining. Nobody cares. You know, this is not happening and that's not happening. And I was just like, wow, we really got time to think about that? Opposed to thinking about how God is blessing with the things that are that's being offered to you? What do you want people to do? Because those are the things that God just might withhold from you because you're not doing anything for him. So let's get this thing called life together. Let's do it the way God says to do it, not the way we want to do it, but pay attention. And pay attention to the results. You know, Shanti's brought that up yesterday. Pay attention to the results. If God says, speak to the rock, did you go and strike the rock? And just like she said, just because water came from it, that's all we're looking for. We're just looking for the results. So let's get this thing together. Let's get this together. All righty. Let's talk about it Tuesday. So, what's on the news for today? Well, I got something to talk about. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Well, I want to talk about the lighter story right now. And that's about a Tennessee pastor who tackles and disarms a man who has a gun in the church. Yes, you know, we talked about this a while ago, you know, bringing a gun to church. And, you know, some people felt that, you know, hey, I bring a gun to church to protect myself and blah, blah, blah. Well, this 26-year-old man, young man, was sitting in the congregation. And while the pastor was praying over people, during a prayer with several people in the church, this 26-year-old busts out with a gun and walks up to the altar where the pastor was praying. And he waves the gun around and he's telling everybody, you know what? Get up. And he points at the congregation. Now, who knows what he was going to do? Who knows what he was going to do? And that's when, you know, he was tackled by the pastor and some other members of the church and held until the cops got there. And, you know, it's amazing because we've been talking about this, you know, for a while. You know, these people are really ill. Really, really, really ill. And, you know, we don't know. Again, we say that even in the church, we're not safe. But in the church, we're covered. So thanks be to God for the brave movement of the pastor. So he's saving lives in a whole lot of ways, not just through prayer, clearly. You know, it's interesting that it took place during the prayer, because we don't know what he was saying in the prayer. We don't know what he was saying in that prayer when the young man got up. He got up during the prayer and started and approached the altar and started waving a gun. And we don't know what that prayer did. We don't have a clue as to what was being said in that prayer and how that prayer could have possibly addressed the issue that they were about to face. So this is why we have to understand that prayer is important. Prayer is important. We don't know what was going on with this young man. We don't know why, you know, was he getting ready to ask for money? Was he just trying to get some type of attention? We don't know if he was mad, you know, at somebody in there. It doesn't really seem like that could be. He's got a name I can't even pronounce. So he's not American. He's definitely not American. and you know, you're in an American church, so we don't know, you know, what exactly was going on with him. But we give God thanks that unlike other church services or Bible studies where someone brandished a gun, that it did not end up, you know, the way it could have. You know, what we really got to give God thanks that it did not end up the way, you know, it could have. All righty. Well, here's the story that I want to talk about today. You may have heard this, about the Philadelphia man who killed his stepfather because there was a gay man in the house. So this is, you know, I'm reading this story, and I can tell you, mental illness is real. Mental illness is real. So here's how this story goes. A young man, he has to move back in. 23 years old, he has to move back in with his mother and stepfather. So he's a visitor in the house. Well, they had some type of event, some type of gathering, and when the guest came in, he noticed that the person was openly gay. And he was in disapproval of this. And he made it known to the stepfather that he did not, you know, appreciate this guy coming in the house. And he said that this is a house of God. And that person, you know, he mentioned, you know, he said it, excuse me, some disrespectful, you know, slurs and things like that in regards to gay people. And, you know, really just made it openly known that he was not in favor of this visitor. Well, somehow or another, this became physical, and the stepfather swung at the young man, and he really didn't hit him. And the young man took out a Glock 19 that was in his waistband and shot the stepfather 3 times. Now, he was hit twice. Once in the head and once in the body, and he died on sight. And the young man's mother was in between the two of them, trying to, you know, defuse the argument. And he reached past her to shoot at the stepfather. Well, the DA, they make me sick. They are sickening. They will say whatever they need to say to get these people off. You know, her claim is, you know, it was an accident. The shooting was an accident, and, you know, they need to wait for forensic evidence to clarify what really happened. And the prosecutor is like, wait a minute. Mom is standing between the two of them, trying to defuse the argument. He reached in his waistband, took the gun out, shot past the mother, which meant that at any given moment, when he shot 3 times, had she moved a certain way, she would have been a casualty as well. How in the world you accidentally take a gun out your waistband, shoot past your mother or anybody 3 times, and it's an accident? But my bigger question is, you claim that this openly gay person should not have been allowed in the house because this was a house of God. Oh, I can't. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, it's time to talk to our due time crew, and we're going to give God thanks that Pastor Ed is here with us today, and we're going to say good morning. Good morning, Pastor Ed.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I'm better, thank you.
Praise God.
I'm glad that we got you.
Hope everyone's doing well this morning.
But thank you so much. Thank you so much. Glad you've been able to join us. And, you know, we're talking about several stories here. And one of the stories is, you know, giving God thanks for the Tennessee congregation that, you know, did not succumb to any, you know, violence from this gun-toting man.
Giving God thanks. Amen.
Giving God thanks. Okay, Pastor Ed. So we got this Philadelphia man, 23, and you just heard the story. You know, let's talk about this thing for a little bit. What are your thoughts? Let's just flush out some of the thoughts right now.
All right. Well, for me, a couple of things come to mind. And the statement you made, not only is it real, but it's very realistically and real, probably in my life, 7 days a week. But mental health is a true issue, and especially untreated mental health, when it's ignored or denied or whatever the case may be, and also evil influence. Some people don't want to compare them as being one and the same, whatever the case is. But obviously there was something wrong with this young man. And the powers that be and I'm not completely familiar with the story, and maybe I missed it, and I don't mean to be racist, but what nationality, did it state what nationality the young man was?
He's on our side of the fence.
He's on our side of the fence. Now, that's actually shocking. And then it's not. So, and let me say for two reasons. It seems that whenever there's violence against us, by us, it's handled in such a different manner. So we've got two things at work. Obviously, this young man needed mental health counseling, maybe, whatever, deliverance. And secondly, he also needed to be dealt the consequences of his actions. Elsewise, he'll never learn. And that whole thing about the homosexual being in a house of God, you know what? All of that, because we're not back in the days where, with Moses, how the people were slew for their sins or whatever, you know, on the spot, you know, because we're living, fortunately, under the power of the grace of Christ. So there was no validity in any of his statement, or even in the response that the district attorney had. You know, people have to learn that there are consequences for your action, and we also have to recognize when folks have issues. You know, I don't know if the parents ignored the fact that there was something wrong with this young man, but whatever the case was, that whole situation was handled poorly from the beginning with whatever was wrong with the young man, and to the ending based upon the DA's determination of the case. I mean, just unbelievable. And that's the world we're living in now.
All righty. We're coming back to a couple of things you said. I have some notes that you hit on, and I definitely want to discuss some of those things you said. So thank you for joining us, Pastor Ed, and we'll be back as we talk to Pastor. Thank you. As we talk to Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I'm okay. You sound like I sound.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for pressing your way on today, giving God thanks that you're able to join us today. What are we talking about here with this young man who, you know, shot his stepdad because the gay person was not supposed to be in the house of God?
Okay. Well, my thought was that, first of all, it wasn't his house. He came back. They allowed him to come in. Then I thought of that he stated that it's the house of God, and we know that in the house of God we welcome everyone. Then I thought about that if it wasn't your house to tell me who can come in and who I should and should not allow in. Then I also thought of that, how you stated that it was a house of God, but you brought a weapon into the house of God. How about that? Mentally, he was unstable. His mother, daddy might not have known if she shielded from the father, but you know your child. You know when something is not right. So she jumps in the middle. He reaches over. You was attempting to do that. I think that it might have been that particular day he might have had stuff that he wasn't liking towards the dad, the stepdad. And then maybe this was my opportunity to take it out on him. So it can vary different ways, you know, or nowadays, you know, people with mental issues, stuff piles up and the voices start speaking, and it could have been that also. So for you to tell me what they should have said was, the parents, that you don't like it, this is my house, so, you know, you have two choices, sit in here and be quiet and go to your room, or you can leave because this is my company.
That's probably what the father did say. I can't even imagine a stepdad not saying that, because I know as a mom, you, me, Pastor Ed, Pastor KL, we would have sure enough gave him the door. So I'm sure that's what he said, which is what really probably riled him up, you know, to even pull out this gun. So you're absolutely right. That's probably what he said. And that's what helped to take it to the next level. So, we're coming back to some of them things you talked about, Pastor Charlotte. Thank you for joining us, and keep pressing your questions. Keep pressing your way.
Yes.
Pastor KL. We got to say good morning to Pastor KL and say, you know, see how you're weighing in on this morning. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you? And Pastor Perry and Pastor Charlotte.
Oh, I'm well. Thank you. I'm well. And giving God thanks that you're able to join us today. What are some of your thoughts here with this situation with the young man and stepfather?
Well, I mean, as everyone is saying, you know, we've been saying that, you know, this is the house of God. But yet, you disrespected the house of God. Not only that, I guess the other young man, his sin was blatant. But what about your sin? Just because your sin wasn't out there, then you know it was okay for you to be who you are. You know, a lot of times because we can see the sin, you know, saying we forget about our sins, we forget about what we do wrong. You know, and that's the problem. So sometimes you hide under someone else's sin. Not only that, you know, when the DA talked all this stuff, I mean, it's a lot of stuff. It's murder, you know. It's shooting in an occupied dwelling, you know. There's a lot of charges that I can just think of, and I've never been to jail. So I mean, we can forget about the mental thing, you know. We already know from the beginning, you know, he ain't too stable, but sinners have to admit that they are sinners, and they are no greater than the other sinner. And we have to stop looking at folks and judging folks and start looking at ourselves in the mirror and just see, what have we done this morning? Forget about over our life. What have we done this morning that wasn't pleasing to God? And here you are wanting to dictate what happens in another man's house, who you call the house of God. So you've already, not only have you disrespected your family's house, but you disrespected God's house.
Mm.
All right, I'm done. Yeah. I'm getting excited like Pastor Perry. I'm sorry.
You know, there's a lot. I had several notes, and you know, all of you have touched on you know, every one of them. And the first thing, like I said, even in my telling of the story, you left home. Now, I don't know if you were put out at one point or you left on your own, but you were a guest. Let's, you know, because we got some time here. We got some time. Let's talk, because, see, we don't know who we're talking to. We don't know who's going to hear. We don't know, you know, who's in somebody else's house basing up at them. We're going to have to, you know, talk about these church folks. You are a guest here. Let's just stick right there. Pastor Perry, you are a guest yourself. What's going on?
Now, Pastor Steph, you know me well enough to know when they talk about a man's home is his castle. Listen, you're here by grace, and I'm not even talking just about the grace of God. I'm talking about you here by grace. I don't know. It didn't mention whether he was paying any bills, and even if he was, his name was not on the deed or the lease, whatever the case is, because it said he was a guest. So first of all, you don't set the tone or the rules in my house. Just period, point blank. That's not going to happen. So if I want to have an elephant, a zebra, and a tiger in my house, then that's my prerogative. And I'm not Bobby Brown, but it is my prerogative. So he was out of order. And, you know, can I just, and I don't mean to go off, but can I say for a second, you know, that's what's wrong. And I'm not even talking about the world. Let's leave the world alone. In the house of God, in the body of Christ, that's one of the big problems. We are so out of order. And so he was out of order in that particular house. He called it a house of God, whatever it was, even if it was a house of ill repute, you're not in charge. So, okay, so that's the first and foremost. And I'm telling you, parents, get your children in order. I don't care if they're 9 months or 99. When you don't get your house, ask Eli about Hophni and Phinehas. But when you don't get your children in order, you set them up for failure. And I'm not talking about the instance where you tried and they stray away. If you let your children know that there's order, the first lessons that our children learn are in our house. And I'm not blaming these parents, because I don't know the whole story, but I do know that in many cases, in certain cases at least, when we ignore, like Pastor Charlotte said, you know, the mama stepping in, mama knew something. So I don't know a mother that don't know their child. So, So we're dealing with the issue of being out of order, first and foremost, and then look at the consequences of being out of order. Look what it led to. And then the DA herself was out of order. I think you said it was a female DA who let him off, whatever. I'm saying she.
Yes.
She was out of order because she's not following the letter of the law that she's been entrusted. She's there to protect the public. She's elected into that office. So she's out of order to make such a ridiculous excuse for someone. And so she's just aiding and abetting and enabling. So let's get in order first, and then deal with others. I'm sorry.
I'm getting there. I want you to go all the way there, because I want to give you room to be able to speak about this later. All right, thank you. Pastor Charlotte, here's a question that I want to ask you. Is this, because you've talked about this personally, is this a case for once gone, always gone with your children?
Well, I set rules in my home. So, yes, because when my child left and then they wanted to come back, I had to tell them the rules of my home before you say, yes, you can come back. And you can't just run my house as if it's yours and you can't do whatever that you want to do. You can't tell me who can and cannot come in my home. But I can tell you that you can't bring your people in. I can tell you what you cannot do. So, yes. with me, that's how it was, and that's why my children said that they was leaving, because they did not want to follow my rules, because there was some people that they wanted to bring into my home, and I wouldn't let them. And I don't care who they were. My house, my rules. I'm like, Pastor Egg, the deed says, the lease says my name. It doesn't say your name. So therefore, those are my keys. And if you don't like them, and I ask you once, maybe give you two. But I know how to change my lock, so I don't have to stress over of you not. And your stuff can be on the outside, because I even gave them when they left, my thing was, come get all your stuff, because nothing of yours needs to be here. I give you a time and a date, and therefore, if you don't come get it, it will go downstairs into the garbage. So you pick and choose. So, yes, that's me.
Okay. Okay. Pastor KL. Thank you, Pastor Shauna. I ask again, you know, for the man of the house. You know, we spoke for the woman of the house. We've heard from the other man of the house. But does this feel why? Listen, when you leave, stay gone. Because, see, you left for a reason. And looking at this particular dynamic, we don't want to assume. But we can probably, you know, figure that there was some friction before. Because if there was a real level of respect, it wouldn't have gotten here in this particular case. So once you go, do you need to just stay gone?
Well, I would like to say, in my manhood, yes, you need to stay gone. But I got a wife that speaks a little louder than me sometimes. So we've had to have a child come back, you know, because of my wife, you know, and it happened to be the man child. And then he brought a little man child with him. So, yeah. And sometimes, you know, when you're a child and you're the father, it's easy. You know, but when you come back as a man, you think you're a man, and you think now that you have you can run rules in my house. So that becomes very, very difficult. They say two women can't be in the kitchen, two men can't be in a house. You know, now to go back to this story, one of the things that I liked is, you know, everybody keeps on saying he had mental problems. He might have mental problems, but he recognized that it was a house of God. So you wasn't that crazy. You understood what the house stood for. It was a house of God. So you might have wanted to come out of your bag, but you understood it was a house. See, I just don't understand how people do what they do, how people say what they say, how people live how they live, but they're able to recognize who God is. That's a problem for me. You know, because if you know this is God, then you know things you just cannot do in this house. Now, listen, I can be transparent. I have a gay child. My daughter's gay. I love her to death. She can come to my house anytime she wants to come to my house. She can come sleep in my house. She can probably come back and live in my house. But your friend cannot come in my house. Not for Thanksgiving, not for Christmas, not for the 4th of July, not for birthdays. They cannot come in my – we're not going to do this in my house. Why? Because this is a house of God.
You all in the – y'all just – y'all don't obey the rules. Y'all don't obey the rules. You and Pastor A, y'all don't obey the rules.
We're sorry.
Focus. Can the child come back home is all I ask. Focus. So you said the father's side said, I guess so. Well, that's the next thing I want to talk about. I want to talk about how the church folk are dealing with the gays in the house of the Lord. In the church house. And then I want it filtered into your house. You know, we've had a big problem with, you know, the interaction between the church and the gays, the homosexuals. And, you know, what's your take on this, Pastor Charlene? Well, what seems to be the problem between the church and why a lot of times the gay people are not welcome into the church?
Well, a lot of times they're not welcome because of the sin. And then it goes back into where you have sinned. I have been questioned. I've had people to come and say to me, you know the lifestyle that they live. Some are really out with it, and some are not. But, you know. So I have been asked about that, and I said, first of all, let's do this. For you to come, can you throw the first stone? Would it be your life? Because I know your story, too. So don't do that, you know, because you got to remember, that's what Jesus says. Whoever. God, if you ain't got no sin, how you live? How do I know who's in your house? How do I know where you creeping at? So when it was approached, I approached them just like that, and I said to them, God loves everybody. He doesn't love our sin. So in the mix of that, why do you not like them? Because they're gay? Well, they might not like you because you don't treat your husband right. How about that? Or they don't like you because you are drunk and think that nobody can smell it and it comes out of your pores. Let's not do that. Let me not pull your card. Let me not ask, because we can. We all can be on the blame game. So what part that you don't want me to address? Now, I believe, and this is me, I believe that the same way as everybody come into the building, God can deliver people with inside the worship, people with inside of their praise, because he did it for me. There was that last time, because I was just acting like I wanted to be. I did what everybody else did. And that day, when the Holy Ghost came and snatched me up, I believe that God can do that in the mix. If we are all a touching and agreeing and praying, I believe that God can deliver somebody out of gay, of being homosexual. I believe that. I believe that even if they're singing a song, I believe that God can touch them at that moment and deliver them. He delivered me from the book, from the sitting on the bar stool. I believe that. I trust him in that. So don't point fingers at nobody. Don't point fingers at nobody. So when you come to me, you better make sure that you got it together. Because you just as sinful when you knew of something as small as, you know, that sister sitting right there ain't got no food in her house. And you go grocery shopping and talk about you going when you leave the church house, and you ain't help your sister. You don't think that God don't see that? He sees that too.
All right.
So, yeah.
Thank you, Pastor Charlene. Thank you. Ah, nice visual, nice visual. Pastor K.L., what do you think is the problem between the church and the homosexual community? Why are they shunned from church so often? Well, what's going on with the church people, the church folk?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I've seen that on the contrary. I mean, because in my church experience, you know, a lot of the homosexuals is on the organ. A lot of the homosexuals is the greatest praise team leaders. I mean, they're more prevalent in church than anywhere, you know, as I was growing up. And again, I'm with Pastor Charlene. You know, there's no sin greater than the other. So because this sin is blatant, you know, and we can't see your sin, then you get to throw stones and you get to throw rocks. You know, but what's going on in your house? You know, my question is, what's the difference between the homosexual who comes to church because he wants to get to know God and he wants to be delivered, and you coming and sitting on the front row with three children, you don't have a husband, and you don't know who the baby daddy is? What's the difference? There was sin somewhere. I mean, there was sin somewhere, and now my question is, isn't your sin just as blatant as the homosexual? And where your baby daddy at? You are Mrs. Who? What is your child's last name?
Ooh.
You know, so I mean, you gotta look at this kind of stuff. Listen, does your child know who his dad? Listen, your child's daddy could be a homosexual. Oh, let's not go there.
Oh, come on.
Okay.
Ooh, y'all are going for the juggler this morning. My goodness. Woo. Oh, my goodness gracious. Pastor Ed, put some fire on, some water on this fire with Pastor Charlene and Pastor Gail today. Or are you going to add some light to this?
Well, let me first say this. I'm a firm believer. You know, I'm a country boy. And, you know, I know something about campfires and whatever. I believe if you stay close enough to the fire, even if you don't get burnt, you're going to at least get warmed. And so let's call it what it is. Ignorance and personal preference over purposeful principle. Because the truth of the matter is, when we study sexual immorality in the scriptures, God makes it clear that sexual immorality is a sin that you're committing against your own body, whether it's, whether it's heterosexual, whether it's homosexual. My whole point is, as spiritual leaders, we can't be ignorant, and we can't go with the flow. There are so many reasons why there's this disconnect. But the biggest disconnect of all is a lack of the same love, compassion, and grace that God shows to every one of us. And I'm like Pastor Charlene, Pastor Carol, I don't care what your sin is. All sin stinks in the nostrils of God. All sin has the same consequences. The scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It didn't say the wages of homosexuality, but not whoremongering and adultery and having 99 kids being a rolling stone and kids in each state, and they don't know who you are and you don't know who they are. But what it says is that the wages of sin, did I put some water on it? That the wages of sin is death. So this is where I have a problem. And I'll never forget my pastor, and I hope this isn't a redundant story. My late pastor, he died May 30th of 2020 from COVID. But I remember he was an officer in the state and the National Association of our denomination. And I remember he went to a convention and a motion was brought to the floor, seconded, and they were preparing to vote on it. But prior to the vote, you know, they called for the question. And so his address, the motion was that we're going to put all the homosexuals out of our church. They can't play on the organ. They can't sing the choir. We're going to put them out of the church, period. And so my pastor said, okay, but I just have one question, or can I make an amendment to the motion? While we're putting out the homosexuals, I want all the deacons, pastors, and preachers that are committing adultery and or fornication, children out of wedlock. You know, he went down the whole list of sexual immorality. He said, I want to amend the motion to include this in, so let's put them all out. needless to say, the motion was tabled. And it has never come back up. He's dead, gone, resting in his grave. So, I'm not trying to be humorous with it, but there's an issue of love. Those folks need our love, just like every other sinner, and they need to be in the house of God. They need to hear the word. They need to be in the fellowship of believers. And when I say believers, I'm not talking about judgmental busybodies. But I'm talking about those who truly have the Spirit of God, you know, that they can, you know, who restore such a one in a spirit of love, considering them themselves, lest they also fall? That's, did I answer the question?
yes,
go ahead and preach, man. Go ahead and preach.
So, and can I? No, this is the point that I wanted to get to, and I'm not trying to be messy. You know what I found in my experience, and I'm just being real, and I'm not throwing any rocks. Some of the leaders and individuals in the church that scream the loudest against homosexuality are struggling with it themselves. And I'm saying, I'm talking from experience. I'm not making it a general statement. We've had several issues where some of the most vehement preachers against homosexuality were caught tipping with some of the same folks they were condemning. And that's not always the case. But what I'm saying is, you have an issue when the Word of God and the Spirit of God can't direct you to see the need in the individual. And you said it, Pastor Charlotte, or Pastor Kale, one of you, Pastor Charlotte, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And then he asked the lady, where are your accusers?
Wow.
Go and sin no more.
You know, a man, y'all are definitely on fire today. Woo! I'm gonna step off and out that for one quick second, and then I'm gonna come back to that. My question is, and Pastor Ed, you stepped into this, but I wanted to talk about we brought this up before, the professions that Christians step into. Now we have a DA who, you know, their job is to get the client off, regardless of what was said, what the facts are. You know, they will pin somebody's mama before they allow their client to go to jail. And, you know, under the guise of, you know, everybody deserves a fair trial. And we do know that there are some people who are, you know, innocent and are being painted to be guilty. But we're not talking about that. So please do not bring them up today. We're talking about those. As in this particular situation where the facts have been laid out that when the argument started and the stepfather swung, he didn't hit him. He swung at him with the intent of hitting, but he did not hit him. You pulled a Glock 19 out your waistband, reached over your mother, who was standing between the two of you, and shot three times. And the DA claimed this was an accident and let the forensic evidence speak for what has happened. Do church people, do Christians, church folk, whichever, the believers, however you want to fill in that blank, do they need to be in these type of professions? Pastor K.O.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I think I said this before. You know, they're liars. That's automatically a sinner. You know, they're going to do whatever they need to do by any means necessary. You know, I could just hear the DA going in there trying to preach that he shot three times, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. You know, they're going to make this stuff believable, you know, so that they can do their job. You know, but when Christians begin to do their job, when they begin to pray without ceasing, you know, when we begin to fall on our knees and lay prostrate for the people, whether they're homosexual, whether they're sinners, whether they're Christians, and we can just pray. Listen, Job didn't get delivered until he started praying for somebody else. You know, when we can get online and start punching in every day, like the devil gets online and punching every day to do his job, to steal, kill, and destroy, if we can do our job and stop just doing our job when our back gets up against the wall, stop just doing our job when Pookie go to jail, stop just doing our job when Mary gets pregnant, and stay on our job and stay on our face, then we'll be better off.
Okay. Ooh, this this is a sensitive subject today. Amen, Pastor Cam. Pastor A, you started with this today, and that we've had this conversation before, but again, we never know how this stuff is going to come up or why God is bringing it up. Do Christians need to take jobs like DAs at all? Everybody needs a good fight.
Okay, so let me say this first. Now, the DA, the district attorney, her job is to prosecute crime. She's supposed to, she's not the public defender. She's the prosecutor. So her job is to protect the public from criminals. And the fact
Wait, I'm sorry, Pastor Ed, then I'm saying it wrong. It's his attorney. I apologize.
Oh, no. Okay, so even in that case, absolutely not, because you're still a Christian at the end of the day. And if you're in a profession that is going to cause you to compromise and sacrifice your principal standards, your Christian principles or standards, and I know it's hard because, you have to look at the situation, but ultimately the bottom line is, we have to be careful because our witness can be affected. Your brother or sister so-and-so shouting and praising and speaking and teaching and working in the house of God and in the community, calling yourself a Christian, and then we watch you perform your job where blatantly you're either telling a lie or supporting a lie or whatever the case may be, that's problematic. So remember, our purpose, our ultimate purpose is to be a witness for Christ. I don't care what your gifts, talents, profession, the way you make your money, our ultimate goal, Christ died that we might occupy and sojourn to build his kingdom on earth through being a witness and making a disciple, spreading the gospel, ultimately. I know that's not everybody's 24/7 job as far as their livelihood and what have you, but if you're in a job that is going to compromise and cast doubt or disparity or shame upon that witness, then it's a problem. And I know that may cover a broad spectrum, but the answer is no.
All righty. Thank you. Pastor Charlotte, do we need to take jobs like this defender? The defender of the accused party.
Absolutely no, because just like everybody else said, because now you will have to lie. Your job is part of lying because you want to get this person off, and we cannot get up and, and stand and be able to talk about the good news and, of the Bible, because it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. My thought has been where it says, "In God I trust," is on the back right behind the judge. So if you living for Christ and you're sitting there, somehow them words don't jump out and smack you in the head to make you say, "In God I trust." So where that you're sitting there and you're lying and you're standing there and knowing that you have to find a loophole. Because when I was on jury duty and when the case was over and I talked to the lawyer and he was like, even though y'all made a right decision, but I had already knew that he did the crime. But you were sitting there defending him and I didn't understand that, so that's why, I talked to everybody. So that's why I went over and I wanted to have a little conversation with him to know that it doesn't bother you at night of sleeping, The Lord don't touch you and make you get up and repent. So my answer is no. That job is not for a place for us as believers to be able to be in to cause any lying spirit. Because once you lie the first time, you got to continue a lying. And just think, every time they come to work, they're lying. How many times are you lying a day?
All righty. Pastor Kale, what other professions do you think Christians need to stay away from?
Politics. You're gonna make all these promises that when I get in office, this is what I'm going to do, and you ain't going to do none of them. That, I mean, your whole speech is a lie. You know, so, I mean, I think politics is definitely one. Politics and the defense attorney is the two biggest
politics.
Ones. Politics.
Okay. I purposely didn't hear your second thing. I didn't hear what you said.
Okay.
I may be able to come back around. Politics.
Yes, ma'am.
Pastor A.
Yes, ma'am.
What other profession do you feel that Christians need to steer clear of?
Well, I guess very clearly, adult entertainment. I mean, I'm just saying. And by that, I'm kind of stressing that because some forms that we now just call entertainment are in actuality adult entertainment based upon what's portrayed. You know, and I won't even get into calling names of folks and all that kind of stuff, but fields that are going to promote and glorify things that we know are a point of sin for millions of folks that may be viewing it. You don't need to be promoting, packaging, and selling this. So.
All right. That's a clear one, like you said. Pastor Charlotte, what profession do you feel? You know, not just the one who's defending the guilty, accused, but who else?
Well, my thoughts went right to a bartender.
Oh, okay.
But then, because they are, giving out the drinks, you know, anything is as with the bar of the, it could even be the owner, you know, because now you're making it easy for the people, and when they having conversations, you're agreeing with whatever that they say. Bartenders are an ear. Bartenders become a coach in different areas. They become also, that listening ear of any kind of way that person is. And the person that they're talking to is going to be right because you want them to spend more money.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
And you're feeding them drinks. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I was getting ready to throw you a curveball because I was going to say, you know, well, you're saying that, you know, they're the ear. Shouldn't our ear, the Christian's ear, be the one that gets, you know, the one who's doing the listening? But you already answered that when you said the last part. Pastor KL, you had another profession that you wanted to bring to the table. What was that profession?
Now you got to look through the window now. Public pharmaceutical. You know, Christians shouldn't be doing public pharmaceutical, if you understand.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I think we catch the drift.
That's not a Christian career.
Oh, my goodness. Give me one that's less blatant.
Oh, man.
One that people
really think
that, you know, and that's what I want to tap into. You know, people who really think that it's okay to get into these professions, but it just might taint your Christianity. We know
In my college days, there was a lot of women who worked the strip pole because it was paying them through college. So, but I think as a Christian, you shouldn't be on nobody's pole.
You gotta get that tuition paid. What you mean?
It was dropping like a half of Jesus.
All righty. Pastor Ed, is there another profession that it appears as though we should be able, but I think we need to stay away from? What's that?
Now, you know me coming from the corporate world with the whole Enron situation. There's certain corporate positions that Christians should not be in. And I'm talking from as a witness from the inside out. There are corporate positions where you blatantly know that there are products and services that you are supposed to conduct a high-pressure sale, and it's all about the numbers, the money. You don't care about the end result for the client. You don't care about the consequences that may result. It's about sell. Those positions and jobs Christians have, because it, in essence, is blatantly lying. You may be doing it roundabout, but you're lying because you know the product and service that you're selling either doesn't do what you proclaim it to do, or it's very risky and it's almost certain that the end client is going to lose, but you've made your money and your commission. So corporate high-pressure service and sales jobs, Christians need to really, really stay away from those because it can affect your soul.
Wow, okay. And Pastor Charlene, one more profession that looks like it could be or should be okay, but I think we need to stay away from that one.
Labor unions at the job. They go with whatever the boss of the job. I had that experience myself when I had the fall at work, and they had to, when they came to investigate it, they tried to blame me, even though it was right out where people saw me fall and how I felt. So they, very good liars. They're just like the lawyers in that profession. You know, it, no matter what, they have to stick with because they want to keep their job. So.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you so much for that. And I'm sure you're helping somebody out there trying to choose a profession. But I want to go back. I want to go back to the house of God and to the first story that I brought about the gun-toting gentleman in the church while the pastor was praying. And he brandished his gun. You know, again, you talked about the difference between, or the fact that there is no difference between the gay person and that one who brandished his gun. But I want you to speak on, you know, the power of prayer right at that same time. You know, what's your thought? And I'll start with you, Pastor Ed. You know, what's your thought on, you know what, we're in church and we're praying and God covered us through this prayer with this guy who was brandishing this gun. It happened in the church during prayer time and that could have made the difference. What's your thought?
You mean what is my thought on whether prayer made the difference?
Whether the fact that prayer could have made the difference in the result. Of that being something that got swelled before the bullets started flying.
Let me tell you something. Any Christian that does not embrace, realize, accept, has not acknowledged or experienced the fact that there is magnificent power in prayer, that communication, I mean, think about it. Here we have this omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, magnificent God, creator, savior, maintainer, keeper, all those wonderful adjectives, and we have a direct link to him. We don't have to go through his secretary, his assistant, or her assistant to try to make an appointment with him and hope we get to see him before the close of business. We have a direct link to him, to pray to him in the name of his son. I mean, yes, of course it made a difference. Every day that I go out in the morning, my children go out, my wife go out, whoever goes out, you know, I make sure they're covered in prayer and all through the day. I mean, even if I can't stop and do the physical thing of getting on my knees and folding my hands and bowing my head and closing my eyes, all that stuff that just sitting in my seat, riding in my car, yes, prayer makes a difference. Before I go through a whole long dissertation, yes, I believe that prayer made a difference in the outcome.
All righty. Thank you so much, Pastor Ed, for joining us today. So happy to have
ma'am.
You with us. Giving God thanks
my
for
pleasure.
Your come on. And we pray that you have a blessed day. Thank you so much.
You all have a blessed day as well. Thank you for the fellowship.
Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Solid. You know, I don't take lightly to the fact that during the prayer is when the young man got up and brandished the gun. Does prayer, have made the biggest difference there?
Absolutely. And when you told us the story, I was like, I hope she come back to that one. Absolutely. The prayer did make a difference. The prayer was more for those who were sitting on the side that didn't even want to be involved in the prayer to show how the enemy can be defeated in the mix of prayer. And with that, while the prayer was going on, God had already had rained down his covering over them, you know, with his blood. And with that, he already knew that when that time come, that those who did not have a cast, if they close your eyes or whatever part that they were doing or didn't come up for the prayer, you know, and at that time that somebody that was there had to see how the enemy was going to be defeated and how the power was going to be able to override them. And that's why the pastor, you know, he didn't even think about it. His thing was of protect, and he just leaped out on faith, and they tackled the person with it. So, yes, it shows how the power of prayer, you know, it's just that it was with a gun. And, yes, it could have been worse off than what it was if they weren't on praying. You know, if it could have just came in because people are so fidgety during the time. So, with that, it was more powerful where they all came on one accord. And with that, I just believe that God had to show somebody in the, you know, of how it could be that might have not knew about prayer, that might not have thought about, I'm just here. And now they're going to have a better prayer life because they show that the power of prayer, how he overrides. So I truly believe that. And, you know, and I just thank God for that, because when you were saying it, I was like, oh, yes, I thank you, Jesus, because we don't know what's coming up against us, because the enemy comes in so many different forms and shapes during the time of prayer, you know, but it's just that they was had to see physically. I believe that was for somebody that was in there too to see, and for the people who had the prayer that might have been able to build up their prayer life.
All righty. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlene. Pastor KL, you have the final word today. And we're talking about the fact that the prayer was going on when the gun-toting man stood up. What's the connection in your world?
Man, let me tell you something. From a personal standpoint, prayer is the key. You know, for those of you who are listening, you know, I got so much stuff going on in my little circle right now. I'm just talking about me. That I didn't want to come on. I didn't want to come on for the rest of the week. And somebody called me and began to pray. And pray will stir up the gift in you. You know, sometimes you get so down and you get so bottled because everybody is pulling on you that you don't want to do nothing else. But somebody can come along and just pray and set the atmosphere. Sometimes the atmosphere just has to be set. Set the atmosphere that you can believe that you'll run on to see what the end is going to be. I believe in that church that their testimony should be that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? And then they should turn around and tell the story about what happened with the man with the gun and said, the man pulled out the gun, but at the end of it, they should have said, but God. That's all you have to say at the end. If you have a but God in your spirit, you know that God is going to take care of you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll be with you even until the end. So somebody ought to say, I'm going through right now, but God, I don't know how I'm going to make it, but God, I don't feel so good in my body, but God. I dare somebody just to have a but God in their spirit on today. You can make it, because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, but God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Sharlin, Pastor KL, again, Pastor Ed, for your contribution into today's segment. And I'm sure there were some lives that were changed under the sound of your voices. And we pray that you have a blessed day. In the name of Jesus, amen.
You do the same.
I do the same, and all of y'all feel better.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You too, Pastor Sharlin. Ooh-wee. What a time, what a time. Let us take this time to hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord together. Heavenly Father, thank you, oh God, for the words that were shared here today. And if the enemy had his way, nobody would have been on here today. But God, but you, but your son. Thank you, God, for the blood that was shed for this particular moment. When we didn't think we could do it, when we didn't want to do it, when the enemy said that you can't, when our spirits and our flesh said, stay in the bed. Sit over in the corner. Just don't even go. Don't even call. Don't even exist today. But God, thank you so much to Heavenly Father for just standing right there. We don't have to ever find you, God. All we got to do is just call on your name, as was said. Just calling out to you, humbly putting ourselves on the altar. And making ourselves available so that you could bless our lives. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for all of the conversation that took place today that changed the life. I'm not even going to say that's going to change the life, because we just got finished saying, God, that while the prayer is going on, that the atmosphere is shifting. And that's why we need to always stay in prayer mode, because you put what's on our heart. You put what comes out of our mouths. Your word says that the Spirit, your Holy Spirit, just orders what it is, instructs what it is that we need to say to Heavenly Father, that we would be lost. We have no clue as to what to ask for. We have no clue as to what to thank you for. We have no clue as to what to say, but that your Spirit directs and guides, God. So if it's the Spirit, that means it's coming from you, which means that if we say what we're supposed to say, that means that you've got to honor it. And we're grateful that you are a God of such a cycle. Oh, that means that we just can't lose as long as we come to you, because it's starting with you and it's ending with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for showing today that prayer is a game changer, because if not for prayer, Pastor Sharlin in her ill physical state wouldn't be on. If not for prayer, Pastor KL in his mental and emotional state would not be on. If not for prayer, Pastor Ed would be traveling or at a job that he would not be able to be here today. If not for prayer, I wouldn't have been able to move to get on this broadcast this morning. If not for prayer, how many other people would not be on today? We're just talking about today. We're not talking about yesterday. We're talking about right now. We're talking about right now as we're praying, what you're doing while we're praying, how you're increasing the reward of pressing our way. We're talking about as we pray, how you're changing things so that when this prayer is over, we'll hear what you've done in our prayer time. We're talking about prayer and as we pray, how everything has to move away from us when we call out your name, when we say the name Lord, when we say Father, when we say Jesus, when we say Redeemer, when we say Savior. The word of God says the enemy must flee. So we got to spend that time in you out loud, calling out your name, giving you thanks, honoring you, lifting up your name, glorifying you, God. And we thank you for teaching us to do so, God. And we pray that everybody in that church, that they would understand that there was something in that prayer, that there was power in that prayer, that he didn't move before the prayer started. He didn't wait till after the prayer was over, where the results could have been different. But it was a movement during the prayer, which meant that you were controlling the atmosphere, which meant he didn't even understand why he stood up while the prayer was going on. He's probably mad that he didn't wait. He's probably mad that he waited. But we thank you for moving and having him stand up. And because the pastor was in prayer, he was on point. He was in tune with you, God. And therefore, all worked together. And that's your promise, that all things work together for the good of them that love you and who are called according to your purpose. And our purpose is to serve you. As Pastor Ed said several times today, our purpose, our sole purpose, is to serve and disciple, to bring glory to your name. And we stand before you today, God, in whatever shape, form, or fashion we are in, regardless of financial situation, regardless of how our spouses or that relationship is not going well, despite people might be dying all over the place, despite the fact that the house might be crumbling, despite the fact that the children are going buck wild and they don't seem to be listening, despite the fact that the job might be on the line or people are unhappy in the job, regardless of what's going on, prayer changes things. And that's what we're showing right now, that just by our existence here on this broadcast is indicative that prayer changes things. We ask you to bless everybody who listens to this broadcast, whether they're listening now, whether they're listening in an hour, a week, a month, a year, that every life would be touched, because through your power, your ministers press their way. We want to give you thanks, God, for Tamika, who was willing to stand in, God. Shantice, who was willing to stand in, God, only because of you. They didn't say, it's not my day. They didn't say, well, here we go again. They didn't say, well, where's everybody else at? But they said, okay, ready, willing, and able to serve you, God. Thank you, Father, for everybody who stands up and who is willing to be used and do it the way you say do it. Not according to what we think or how we feel. It's according to how we salute you. So today, God, we do just that. We salute you, God. We give you the glory and the honor for all the things that we see that you do and all the things that we have no clue that you're working in. We want to send you to the prison cell of this young man who pulled the trigger, God, on his stepfather. And Lord, it's not too late for him. We know it's not. Your word says so. If he was able to claim that he was standing in the house of God, oh, he knows a little something. And there's that mustard seed that you're talking about in your word. So, Lord, we're asking you that you water it. You have those that come by, God, and just water that seed that was planted inside of him. And we pray that he gets the increase, that his life can be changed, that he can serve you even behind the bars, that others have done it. He wouldn't be the first, and he's surely not going to be the last. And we're lifting him and all others like him. The young man who pulled the gun in the church, What was he going through that he took the gun in the church? What was his intention? And we're grateful that we didn't find out. And we're asking you, God, to touch his life, that he would understand who you are at the end of the day. That even if something sent him into the church, oh, it could have been in a grocery store. How many times are we hearing that in the supermarket, in the pharmacy, in the phone store, that the guns are going off, God? But he was in the church. He was in your house. Thank you. And let everybody who was witnessing that, who was a part of that, speak your name, as has been said, God. And we give you thanks that we're on this side of the fence, where we can speak against these things, that we can pray for these people, and that we continually wake up each and every day remembering that there's a God we need to serve. Thank you, Father, for listening to us. Oh, thank you for listening to us, that you pushed our sins aside. You looked beyond our fault and found our need. Thank you, God, that you didn't look at us and go, you know what? It ain't going again. My pain is no mine. But that you're the ever forgiving, loving God. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son for such a time as this. And that we would never forget to give you the glory and the honor, so rightly do your name. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Ooh. Giving God thanks, you know, for all that he does. That he never stops doing. Thank you. Thank you for never stopping. Thank you for not being like man. Thank you for being there when we need you. Thank you for being there when we don't think we need you. Thank you for being on the road. Thank you for being in our home. Thank you for being on the job. Thank you for being at the school. Thank you for when you're with us when we're well. Thank you when we're not well. Thank you when we're sick in our hearts. You know, we're sick in our mind. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for never stopping. Thank you, God. I'm never giving up on it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for getting us through that night that we just didn't know how we were going to make it. Thank you. We were so sick, we didn't know whether we were going to make it through the night. Thank you. When we were so sick, we didn't want to make it through the night. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. There's so much to give God thanks for. And let us not forget to give God thanks at all times. You know, we don't have the option of giving up. We don't have the option of throwing in the towel. We don't have the option of not serving God, because he's done way too much. And I deem it a blessing to be able to get on this broadcast every morning, because I ask myself, what would you do as a replacement? If you didn't have this broadcast to log into every morning and to minister as God instructs, what would you do instead? What would you do instead? what would you do instead? And I don't know. I don't know. So not getting on the broadcast is not an option for me, even though I'm the host. You know, it just not, in other words, not ministering when God has called ministry into my life larger and greater than I ever imagined. You know, there was I don't think it was known that there was some doubt that God called me to minister and have a church that he put underneath my watch. I'm so glad I didn't listen to man. I'm so glad I didn't pay attention to man. I'm so glad I didn't rate what man was saying or what man was feeling or what man was thinking. I'm so grateful to God, because you wouldn't have Is Due Time with Pastor Steph. I wouldn't have Is Due Time with Pastor Steph, because, see, in order for me to have gotten here, I needed to be there. I needed to be amenable, you know, and I told my story, how I tried to run. But I needed to ultimately be amenable to God's call. And if I had watched the movement of man and watched what man was acting like and thinking and saying, and I wouldn't have moved according to the way God instructed me to move, I wouldn't be here ministering at this level. I wouldn't be on Sunday night ministering at that level. See, everything you do when you go back to yesterday's switch tip, doing things the way God says to do it, we lose at the end of the day. So if God says be on, then that's what we got to do, is be on. Because see, there's a blessing in pressing. See, when there's a possibility that somebody else is not going to be on, and when there's a cancellation and I have to say, come on, crew, I need you to be on. See, we don't have an option of sitting back, because I keep saying to people, it's not the asker who's ultimately asking. It's God who is summoning you. So I need us to pay attention to that. You know, well, you know what? Can you come and do this? You know, if you want to. If God sent you to me, I don't have the option of saying no, because I'm not ultimately saying no. You're not asking me to minister. You're not asking me to do this. You're not asking me to come and bless your program or event. This is God. And by the same token, I have been omitted from being a part of some things. And I said, you know what? I ain't worried about that either. Because whatever God doesn't call me to, you ain't hurting my feelings. God don't want me to. And it's funny, because when I adapted that, I realized God didn't want me there. He told me, I don't want you to be a part of that. So let's just do it the way God says. And don't hesitate to answer his call, because there's ultimately a blessing in pressing, regardless of what it is. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. We'll discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Is Pastor Steph signing off. And I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming in big time, as always. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us. And I pray that everything you heard, you will put into action, that you will not just be a hearer, but that you will be a doer of God's word. Please, if you have not already done so, accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Also, if you have chosen God as your personal Savior, I implore you to press on. Press on, my sister. Press on, my brother, that there's a blessing in pressing. Until tomorrow, where it's Wow Wednesday, God spares our life. I love you.